Hey guys, welcome back to the Puzzle Mind Podcast. My name is Tad.
And my name is June.
So we got a pretty interesting topic for you guys today. So it's brought to you by the letter L for lost civilization. So we're going to be talking about civilizations that some of them may be mythological in nature and other ones actually have been discovered. So we're going to start the thing off with John's topic with the Mayans.
So for those that don't know who the Mayans were, they were like a civilization that lived in the in much of like South America, kind of Mexico, Guatemala, Belize, Honduras, and El Salvador, I think. And so they were known for their mathematics, astronomy, the infamous Mayan calendar, which we'll kind of touch on a little bit later, and rituals. But what I really want to touch upon first is like the Mayan pyramids. So the archaeologists are trying to survey the Mayan land because they don't know exactly like what is underneath all the trees and stuff like that. There might be some civilization ruins or pathways or whatever they are. And so they use this thing called LIDAR, which stands for light detection and ranging, I think. And essentially they use lasers to give you elevation data on the land. So kind of like how radar uses radio waves to map things and sonar uses sound waves to map things, LIDAR uses like lasers to tell you the difference in height. And so what you can do, what they do is they put a laser on the plane and they fly it over an area and they're able to map this area out. And so the Mayan cities were abandoned, I guess, maybe. That's kind of what we think about right now. And underneath the trees, you can kind of calculate the height difference, potentially alerting you to archaeological remains that are beneath the trees.
So LIDAR, basically, it's like almost like an X-ray of what's underneath, like buried underneath the soil.
Yeah. So they use it and they found like unknown roads, irrigation systems, and other buildings. And so this kind of makes you look at it the sense of, you know, if we find more buildings and stuff like that, the Mayan population could have been bigger than what we thought, you know?
Oh, that's pretty crazy. Like, I've always wondered exactly, like, when a civilization, like, disappears or you find the remains, what happens? Does the last person die and then no one's, like, imagine, like, New York City, for example, right? Does the last person die in New York City and then this over 1,000 years it gets buried? Or does something always have to happen and then the people of that civilization are, like, killed or, you know, taken to slavery and then the city's left empty? I feel like that's something no one ever asked. Like, why does an entire city remain and then, you know, you never find like skeletal remains or anything. It's always just the city.
Yeah. And now I think about it too. I mean, we'll touch upon that a little bit later, but like maybe some theories as to why it just went away, but the buildings are still intact, or not in buildings, but the pyramids are still in somewhat great shape. So you could kind of maybe rule out like war maybe. Could you look at it that way in the sense of the pyramids are still relatively in good shape? That
maybe, yeah. I always feel as if something happens and that's why civilization ends up just going down under. I don't know if there are any civilizations that just lived and then that was it. You know, like last person in that civilization just died, because technically wouldn't they just thrive for like, I guess, millions of years? Like the modern day human being, like, do you think that basically as long as we keep producing, we don't blow each other up with nukes, we can just keep living, right? So wouldn't it be interesting to think that, like, let's say, for example, whatever happened to the Mayans had to be like an extinction level event for the whole civilization. Otherwise, they should technically still be around in some form today, right?
Well, you know, now that we're on it, let's just move to that part. So there are a few things that people may like think that might have happened to the civilization. So one for sure thing happened was the Spanish conquest. So the Spanish came over there, and this guy named Hernan Cortez, I think, and he conquered the Aztecs. And so his other fellow conquistador, I guess, Pedro de Alvarado, he led the expedition to conquer the Mayans. And so they brought diseases to the Mayan civilization, you know, that they've never even experienced before. It's just kind of like the Europeans bringing diseases to the Native Americans. They just weren't accustomed to it. You know, their immune system wasn't built towards around that. you can look at maybe famine, you know, like maybe they didn't have enough food because their empire was so, so huge. Natural disasters, you know, maybe there was, I don't know what natural disasters occur in that area, but, you know, maybe you could speculate that natural disasters caused a decline in the civilization. And another one that I saw on the History Channel, which is a conspiracy theory, and, you know, I love conspiracy theories. So this one is based off like an alien conspiracy. So okay. the seven most important pyramids in the Grand Plaza, they're in the same geometric pattern as the seven stars, which comprise of like the Pleiades constellation. And so they think that the Mayans came from the Pleiades and they kind of, quote, returned home.
So they basically just, like, Mu came to Earth, had their fun, and then just left after, like, I guess they, quote, unquote, served their purpose.
Yeah. And so that kind of goes back to the whole thing where there's no remains, you know, unless they're buried deep beneath the forest.
Yeah, because we've discovered the entire, I mean, it's one of the few places where I feel like you've discovered the majority, I guess humans have discovered the majority of the city still intact, but no remains. At least as far as I've heard, I haven't heard of people saying like, you know, we find an ancient Mayan child's, you know, skeletal remains or, you know, like a grown adult or anything. It's always, you have all these things, but not the actual bodies. So that's always been a part that's been very perplexing to me. I'm like,
yeah,
how the hell you have an entire city basically intact, but no one. So maybe there's alien theory. I mean, government not too long ago did confirm, remember that UFO sighting, blatantly said, okay, UFOs exist. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that as well, too, it's like you have a civilization that was a little too advanced for comfort, as a lot of people, you know, realize. And they actually, you know, then they do things with like the calendar and like constellations, things that like were way above their time or ahead of their time.
So just to go a little bit more on the LIDAR thing. So this is how powerful the LIDAR thing is. And so they used this technology for, I think it was 45 minutes, and they were able to get 10 years worth of surveying out in 45 minutes. And so, you know, that's, imagine you're just on the ground surveying manually, I guess. And it takes you, you only get a little bit of area done per whatever, but this technology allows you to survey the whole area that you want to within less than an hour. So you can kind of see, you know, maybe this will help preserve the surrounding area, and you know, you don't have to like dig here or dig there. You know exactly where to dig, you know?
Yeah, and so without destroying it.
Yeah. And you know, that way we can kind of preserve the history of the Earth to where we need to survey. And so you have to kind of look at it in another way too, in the sense of if we use this in the Mayan area, what other areas are we not looking at? Kind of like the Sahara Desert or maybe the Amazon, you know, like what other areas of the world are we not looking at that might unlock another way we should look at the world, you know?
Yeah, that would actually be pretty interesting if you can discover, you know, the whole city intact.
I think that it might be too expensive. The technology, the LIDAR technology, maybe it's too expensive. I'm not sure how much it costs, but the other thing that the Mayans were known for were the sacrifice. And I think this is where the meat and potatoes are, because this is really, 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 really interesting. So they sacrificed in the Mayan culture as a sign of like nourishment to the gods. And so they saw blood as that type of nourishment, and they sacrificed living things, whether that be like people or animals. And so there's a lot of things that people don't know in terms of what type of people they sacrificed. You know, I've read that it was like young boys and young men, or some people have said, you know, virgin girls, but whatever it was they were sacrificing, I think a general consensus is that they were young children. And they also sacrificed animals like quails, turkeys, and unfortunately dogs. So they actually sacrificed to this god called Chok, C-H-A-A-C. And if you Google him, he kind of looks like Galactus from the MCU. It looks really badass. And so he's the god of like rain, storm, and lightning, I think. But the way that they did a ritual to him was really weird, because whenever they needed rain, they would have four boys act and chant like a frog in like a little, I guess, square. And so then they would throw these like young boys, not the boys that are acting like frogs, just random, I guess, boys that were in civilization. They would throw them into the wells called like cenotes, and that's how they would, quote, ask for rain. So can you imagine like these like four boys just like ribbiting and croaking like frogs?
That would be a pretty sad way to go out and then get murdered immediately afterwards.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, ribbit, ribbit, ribbit. And then get those cut. But they would sacrifice, I guess, in that cenote or the courtyard of the temple, or maybe the summit of the pyramid, wherever they wanted to do. But so they had multiple ways of sacrificing, such as like decapitation. So they only did that after they like tortured and beaten you and took your organs out. They also did like heart extraction. So they would just take your heart out, just make like a incision right in the middle of your chest, pull it down and grab your heart out, and it would burn it. And then after that, they would just throw your body down the pyramid, and then someone would skin you. And then they would leave your hands and feet untouched. And then the people would wear them as a trophy if you were like a war captive. So now people, you know, people wear like gold chains, stuff like that. But back then people rocked feet and hands.
Damn.
Yeah, I know. It's really, when you think about it, you're like, holy shit, dude, you can just see like a 12 foot, you know, a size 12 foot hanging around your foot or around your neck. But it was, I couldn't find any images of that, because I don't think anyone would draw stuff like that, but who knows, you know, it's the internet. Mm. And the other thing they would do was bloodletting. And so they would cut themselves on whatever body part, whether it be like their cheeks, their lips, their nostrils, and even their penis. And, you know, they would put that on paper and just burn it, I guess, for a sacrifice. And the last thing, it was the Mesoamerican ball game. And I think you have to look up a picture. And most people, I think, have seen this, but it's essentially, it's like volleyball without the net, if you can look at it. But instead, you have to use your hips and not your forearms. Or you could use your forearms, but it's mostly for your hips. And so they use like a big-ass ball. I think it was anywhere from like 1 to 7 pounds. And imagine just hitting that like on your hip. I think they said that there was a lot of like bruises and casualties just because they weren't, you know, really padded up.
It's like everything that they played or everything that they did just involves death in some form or another, whether they wanted to or not.
Were the Mayans more so of the originators of, is it what, BDSM? Is that what it is?
You never know. These dudes are into some weird shit, so.
So essentially what it was is they would just play that game, and then whoever won would not be sacrificed. The losing person would be sacrificed to the gods. And so whoever, I think there was a thing I read about how they would tie people up into a ball and then use them as the ball in the Mesoamerican ball game. So I don't know how they like made people into balls. I guess they tied them up and then just hit them with their hip, but that's like at least 100 pound ball just getting hit with your hip, you know?
Yeah, that sounds fucking painful shit.
Yeah, I don't know. And then the last thing is the Mayan calendar. So you had brought this up, and I think is a really good point. You know, why do we take the Mayan calendar so serious? You know, with the 2012 incident and then the recent 2020 incident, I think it was like a few weeks ago, you know, they were saying that the end of the world was then. And so do we kind of secretly want the world to end? Is that why we believe in it and we kind of hope that it's real?
I guess maybe the series of coincidences of all this stuff like kind of happening and you'll pretty much call it out ahead of time is why most people are freaking out over it. Or I guess freak out over it.
What if people want it to happen, so then it gives us a reason to go to Mars?
I mean, you can try that. I still stand by the statement that, like, you don't want to be part of that first couple thousand people that go up to restart a civilization, you know, or rebuild a humanity. I mean,
yeah.
But you never know. It could be more of an excuse for people to act like crazy because they're like, well, the world's going to end. You've seen all these movies and films. Most human beings, whenever they find out the world's going to end at a specific date, just do shitty things. They're like, fuck it. Nothing matters anymore. I'm just going to, you know, start partying, start doing whatever, you know, rampaging through the city, burning stuff on fire, lighting stuff on fire. So it could be more of an excuse for people just to want to do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. Like, you found out a comet was coming to Earth in about 24 hours, right? Mm-hmm. What would you sit there and be like, okay, now is the time to, you know, really get my life together, or just be like, fuck it, I'm going to do every single thing that I possibly can that I've never tried, and then that's it.
Someone probably hears the news that a comet comes. They're like, shit, man, I never knitted that that mitten for me. I guess I'll just do that now then.
That person deserves to die. Why would you? Your last final moments, you want to knit. No, now it's time to try every drug possible. Go to fucking Mexico, max out your credit card. Just do whatever you want.
That's like that episode that we did about, I can't remember what it was. Like, what? Like, if you had three wishes and I said I would get like a sandwich or something like that, and you're like, oh shit, you'd get a Subway sandwich. No, not a gourmet sandwich, just a plain old
regular
mayo. Yeah, no mayo, dry ass sandwich.
Just waste a wish, just most basic ass wish of all time.
So what other civilizations have you looked at?
So here are some of the interesting ones. So I'm going to, you know, do the fan favorite that everyone likes to hear about is Atlantis. So the thing about Atlantis is there's like not much actual factual basis to support that it ever existed. And there are like two interpretations of Atlantis. One interpretation that Atlantis was a city off the coast of, they believe like near the Bermuda Triangle. And it was actually a city that was on land and then swallowed up. So there's that theory where basically, like, because by the way, Plato is the great Greek philosopher, is the one that came up with the whole story of Atlantis. So one man came up with the story. So part of the problem is, it's like, it could be one guy basically just fucking with everybody, and for whatever reason, since he was such a brilliant man, everyone took it quite literal. Mm. That there's an actual city that, you know, was, you know, that had the perfect everything, because Atlantis is always described as being utopian. So it could possibly have been, you know, him describing ideally what he would want, like, the current, you know, Greek civilization at that time to be like. So it was possibly, a lot of people think that it possibly could be also under Antarctica, which is I find very interesting as well too, because I'm like, of course it's in the place that's probably the hardest to find it, right?
Wait, shit. So can we use LIDAR to do that then? I didn't think about that.
That's the thing. I'm not exactly sure how in depth LIDAR goes. But if there is anything remain, because honestly, if it would be ideal if that technology for it to be under somewhere like Antarctica, because things tend to be perfectly preserved in ice.
Mm. So I wonder if it only, like, ice is a factor because of how dense it is. You know, like, ice can be really thick as opposed to just grass. I don't know. I'm just talking out of my ass right now, but maybe ice is a factor.
But they have searched under. So there's also according to, I guess according to also a lot of like, I guess I want to say like, what do you call it? Like archaeologists? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was about to say this. I'm like, yeah, archaeologists are the ones that go around looking for shit. But it could be also located near the Rock of Gibraltar, because also is one thing, the one thing that's consistent about all the stories about Atlantis is that it had a giant golden statue of Poseidon, which has also never been discovered, unfortunately. So pure gold, like fucking 30-foot statue of Poseidon. So that you would tend to think that something like that would still be discovered, because gold is something that can be preserved even under like under ocean water pressures and things of that nature. So there have been very few things to support that it's been around. So the interesting thing about Atlantis is that, like, there's also extraterrestrial connections also as well too. So stories have claimed that the original inhabitants of the lost city of Atlantis are believed to be extraterrestrial in origin. And they were about 50,000 years ago from the Lyrian star system. So that's the cool part about it. That's also going back to your minds, how you found no trace of these people. Mm-hmm. But there are, like, you know, I guess inklings and, you know, little stories about a civilization. So Atlantis, the the majority of people think that Atlantis actually never existed, because based on the actual sheer size of the city always varies in terms of actually how big the city was. Some stories range that it was like a few thousand people to several thousand people. So it's one of those things where I am under the belief that it's a fable. I think that I think Plato was talking out his ass.
You know who we need to uncover this mystery? We need Sam Witwicky's from Transformer, his grandfather, to search the Arctic, because he found Transformers there. So
never know, man. Yeah. Never know. Like, honestly, I hope that it's real. Like, I think that'd be the coolest fucking thing. I hope that, like, it would be cool to think that, like, I don't think the city was ever underwater. I think that's just because also as well too, if you found that their city was thriving, like there's some, that's a whole new species. So that's a whole different topic. Because a lot of the times Atlantis is always depicted as an underwater civilization. Mm-hmm. If it is true, like for some, whatever reason they discover something, I do believe that Atlantis would have been something that was originally on the surface, and then was swallowed up by maybe like an extreme tsunami, or, you know, some people think it was about the Bermuda Triangle. So to segue into another interesting civilization, there actually was a city that drowned, and that's called I'm going to probably butcher the fucking name, but it's called the Heraklion, and it's a drowned Egyptian city. So this city showed up in pretty much every Greek myth, and it was the city where Heracles took his first step into Africa. It was also the palace where Paris of Troy and his stolen bride found Menelaus before the Trojan War. So pretty much what happened was, like, in the early 2000s, divers actually stumbled upon the city in the ocean. So they found a strange rock underwater, and when they brought it up, they realized it was a piece of an ancient statue. So they dove back into the sea to find that apparently there was a whole entire city underwater. And pretty much what it was, they found like ancient Egyptian temple, and they found statues and jewels and stuff like that. So the entire lost city has been actually pulled from underneath on underwater. So they actually went down there and pulled, you know, like different parts of the city and stuff like that. So it's like one of the few cities that actually was swallowed up by the ocean, which so I found.
It's kind of like modern day Italy. You know how the waters are kind of rising.
Italy,
that new one.
Yeah, modern Italy basically, like, where is it? Like, is it Venice? Or then I think it's Venice, where the water is slowly rising like 2 inches every year or something.
Yeah.
It's rising at a very slow rate, but you give it like 1,000 years, it's gonna be significant. But I think they have like some sort of flotation devices underneath all the city, all the building. Yeah. But this city was swallowed whole. Like, I'm talking like cartoon, like tsunami came and just fucked this whole city up.
Yeah.
So
what if we're looking at, what if we're having this box thinking, kind of like with the Atlantis thing, about how we always depict it as it being an underwater city, but again, like to your point, what if it was just a city and it was engulfed by water, kind of like the civilization that you were just talking about? Like, what if we're looking at it in a boxed view?
You never know. That could be the thing also as well too, that we think that, you know, it's a specific thing. We want it to be. The more interesting story is for Atlantis to be a civilization that was completely built underwater. Mm-hmm. Because that would lead to all kinds of things like what, mermaids and mermen and all that stuff. And, you know, an entire different, you know, it would be more interesting. But more than likely, if it does exist, it's another place where it got swallowed up. And that's logical. But not to say that things in this world that are beyond reason aren't possible.
Yeah.
There's also that, you know, thinking to go into it. So another pretty interesting place is actually Xanadu, which actually sounds like an alien race, but it's actually the palace of Kublai Khan. It was like this ancient conqueror back in the day. So back in the day, Marco Polo came back from China with some incredible descriptions of Kublai Khan's empire. And the most incredible was Xanadu, the palace of Khan. So apparently the palace itself was about 25 kilometers, so it was 16 miles long with fountains.
You said how long?
It was 26 kilometers.
60, right?
Yeah, no, 16. Yeah. Oh, it was 16. 26 kilometers, which is about 16 miles long. Yeah. And this is a palace, dude. So this is a building, remember. A building that is 16 miles long, bro. And it had a park filled with fountains, rivers, and wild animals. And he kept over, according to legend, over 10,000 white horses in the Golden Palace. So The interesting thing about it was the palace got destroyed by the Ming army in 1369. So it got destroyed before Europeans got a chance to see it. So as kind of like centuries passed on, that it kind of slipped into legend, right? You know, Marco Polo talked about it, but no one else got to see it. So it was a place where like poets like kind of like wrote about and, you know, kind of used it as a description of, I guess, to kind of really talk about, you know, like perfectly built structures. Mm-hmm. So then it actually was dug up not too long ago. So the palace has been uncovered and it was found that Marco Polo was not exaggerating. This place was actually pretty, they didn't say whether it's 60 miles long or not, but it was actually pretty ridiculous. And it was surrounded by a massive park, which could have possibly housed animals and stuff like that.
Wait, so what city is this at again?
So this is Zandu. So this is the Palace of Kublai Khan. So I believe this is in China.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is in China. So it was pretty interesting to actually see that it was discovered. So the final interesting one I thought was pretty cool was Siguria, which is the eighth wonder of the world. And this is actually in Sri Lanka. So in the 5th century, King Kasapa built a palace on top of a boulder that was 650 feet tall. So according to like the legends, there was actually a massive brick lion that you had to like, so you would walk in between its paws. So it would have one paw and, you know, its left paw and right paw, giant lion head, and a staircase going down the middle, right? Mm-hmm. So pretty much what happened was Mongolia, what they're called, the Mangalana army attacked, and pretty much his army deserted him and his place got torn up. So apparently like he was like, you know, he was, you know, pretty much didn't want to get captured alive and stuff like that. So him and his wife like jumped from atop of the palace and killed themselves. So that's how the story goes. But it was actually uncovered that like this city place actually did exist. There's actually a photo of it. And it's just the only thing that's left is the staircase and the two paws. So the two paws of the lion. So European archaeologists actually, you know, based off the stories of where this place was located, actually uncovered it, and it's 100% factual. But there actually was two giant lion paws and a massive staircase going up a boulder. So it was pretty cool to see actually that the story, the legend actually turned out to be 100% true.
See, like stuff like that, it's just fascinating because you have all these civilizations that we don't really like hear about in mainstream history, and I think those are the ones that we need to explore more, you know.
Those are the ones that are more interesting, man. They can kind of give you insight as to like, one, how advanced people were back then. Two, it's always interesting to see a culture that's different from from anything that you've ever seen or heard of. So
yeah, and I think that plays a role with looking at the Earth's history as a whole. You know, if we only focus on one part of Earth's history, then we don't get the full complete picture. And you know, the civilizations don't really work together if they're in different continents, but it's just amazing to see how like in one part of the country, like civilization was thriving, it was fucking advanced, you know, and like the Mayans, or you know, it might have been of mythical descent, kind of like with Atlantis. It's just,
and the cool thing about Atlantis also as well too is that like there are explorers that have actually gone looking for it. So people have made it their life goal to go looking for like this lost city, right? So there's a guy named Robert Ballard who actually discovered there was an eruption in the island of Santorini in the Aegean Sea near Greece, and the entire island disappeared. So it was a volcanic eruption. So there's also like factual basis to support that something like this possibly could have happened around the areas where these myths are born.
So wait, so where did you say the Atlantis was? Bermuda?
So there's one theory that it was an island. It was like an island off the coast of Bermuda, and then a Bermuda Triangle swallowed it up. And then there was also the other one was saying it was near the Gibraltar Rock.
But what if, you know how people say that like the Bermuda Triangle, people always get lost and never found?
Yeah.
People who are trying to go there, like purposely, like the Bermuda Triangle swallows them up because they don't want Atlantis to be found.
That's the thing, man. I've never even understood what exactly the Bermuda Triangle is supposed to be. So
yeah, I don't know.
That's the thing where I don't know. Is it supposed to be like just extremely tough waters or something? Is it supposed to be like almost like something that's not extraterrestrial, but the supernatural in nature, because it's always told about, like, once you go through the Bermuda Triangle, like, you just don't survive. Like, you just disappear. Like, so
I've heard that it's like a dead spot for cell phones as well. Like, you can't get any service out of there, and so you can't really use GPS to track your location there.
They needed to just build a vessel that's the most advanced piece of technology that the world has ever seen, and then send it straight into the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, so then I guess we can just use, again, the whole AI thing to do that exploration for that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, man.
Can you imagine? I'm just thinking about it now, like incorporating LIDAR with the AI, so then it would essentially survey it yourself. You know, you don't have to use like a submarine. It's not manned.
You would have to send it. I mean, you would have to put it in like a vessel. I mean, like, and then just, they would be able to handle, like, they wouldn't have to deal with water pressure, because I know human beings, after like a certain amount of depth, pressure can build up in our brains and shit like that, and your head explode. Mm-hmm. You don't want to deal with that. So, and then they can probably see far more than we can see with our eyes. Because you can imagine, even if you were able to somehow survive the pressure of being that deep underwater, I mean, you wouldn't be able to see anything. It'd be like pitch blackness, right?
Yeah. Your vision would probably be like all fuzzy, and you might be thinking that you're about to die and stuff like that.
Yeah, you couldn't see it. You'd probably get delirious. So, yeah. I mean, a lot of these civilizations, I think the cool thing is that most of these civilizations, like even modern civilizations today, could end up being mythological civilizations. There's actually an episode in the show called on Netflix called Love, Death, and Robots. And it was pretty interesting, where it was like an animated short about the human species being extinct. And they were like, now these cyborgs and robots that like inhabited the planet. Mm-hmm. So they were like going through like modern day New York City. And obviously it's just ravaged by foliage, you know, that plants have taken back the city. Right. Mm-hmm. And they're like going through like little things like a mall, right. And seeing all these crazy things. And they're they came across like a basketball, and they're talking about like the basketball was used by the ancient humans as a ritual. And they used to throw it in the net to symbolize, you know, the praying to the gods, and then there would be a crowd that would cheer. And like, it's great. It was hilarious, but it's actually cool to think that like, give us a couple thousand years, people won't, simple things we do today, if they aren't recorded, actually could be misinterpreted in the future.
Yeah. So like that whole basketball thing is just not really fucking stupid, but I'm gonna go with, you remember that Charlie Brown movie where, they like try to figure out how figured out how basketball was made or something like that. It was like a basket. That's what I'm going with. It's not some ancient civilization learning how to play basketball. It was Charlie Brown. Mm-hmm. That's what it was.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it'd be pretty damn cool, dude. Like,
yeah.
You never know, man, because people honestly, like, I guess it's harder now because we have a better, we record ourselves than back then. The way they would like, you know, record, you know, things about their civilization was a lot different. So,
yeah, because they would use like word of mouth, and they would use, you know, like inscriptions. And so that's all based off of of personal bias, you know?
Yeah.
But now that we have everything recording all the time, I mean, you can misinterpret it, but it's straight visual, you know? I guess that goes to the whole thing of perspective, you know? Whatever you record might look different than what I record.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if there will be a way where we can record the thing as a whole and not parts, you know, because telling the story as a whole can be interpreted different ways as well. I don't know. It's just the whole thing of preserving it and looking at it as a whole, I think, is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, man. Like, it's just, that's exactly what it is. Like, once you have everything as a whole, you kind of have an easier picture of how to put things together. And I think that's how myths are born, by having not a complete picture, because there's some guessing work in there also as well too.
Yeah.
So
So I guess to wrap this up, you know, for the listeners, you know, which civilization do you think was actually real that we did talk about, some of the mythological ones? And also, you know, why do you think that we are so obsessed with the Mayan calendar? You know, the two questions that we kind of asked earlier today. You know, if you like this podcast, smash that like button, follow button on whatever link that you decide to listen to us at. Follow us on our social media. Our Instagram is Puzzled Minds Podcast. Our Twitter is Puzzle Minds Pod, and our email is puzzleminds podcast@gmail.com, where we do encourage anyone to submit a topic, whatever they want to hear. You know, like today we talk about lost civilizations. Just send us an email. I want to give two shout outs as well. Shout out to Connor for the EQ boost that he's going to do. Check him out on his YouTube at Podcasting with Connor. And last but not least, thank you for the episode cover artwork that we get every week at Official Block of the Week. He does our episode cover art, and they're really cool. Other than that, everyone, stay puzzled.